Sunday school can be dismissed at one class. And also to remind you that we want to celebrate all of our visitors today, especially Pastor Errol, Rona, and all of your people, and anyone else who's visiting. So we have some cake and coffee after the service. We'd like to invite you to stay. And it's good cake. I know. I didn't make it, so it's safe. All right, while you're getting your notes for the morning message, open your Bibles with me to 2 Kings 17. 2 Kings 17. Thank you. When you have 2 Kings 17 in your Bible or your tablet, your phone, maybe you have it memorized, stand to your feet if you would. We're going to pray. If you can stand, that'd be good. Amen. You got your book of notes. All right. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you are faithful to us. And as we hear the word today, take the word deep into our lives. We're not interested in something that is just formal and usual and habitual and ritual. We want so much more of you in our lives. You beckon us from afar that we might come close. Today, Lord, as we hear your word, draw us close to you. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. We're continuing our discussion, our examination of your worship life. If you're visiting with us today, we're learning how to worship. You may say, well, Pastor, I know how to worship. Do you? I think you'll have eternity to learn more. When we're all straight face to face with our Redeemer, there will be an enlargement of whatever we have offered. But we're learning as the Bible gives us instruction. And so we're continuing in our study of this great topic. And just a little testimony before I get into the Word. As you know, we just returned from holiday. Just before we went on holiday, we went to Wales and Marilyn and I went there to speak as part of a conference, citywide conference in Swansea. We had a wonderful time there. We were tired, but how many have ever been tired? And aren't you glad God doesn't go on holiday when you get tired? We were coming out of the first service, and there was in front of us an older woman. I won't say what older is, but anyway, there was an older woman and her husband, and she had a stick, a cane that she was using to steady herself as she walked. And the service was over. I was looking forward to getting back to the hotel and sleeping. I tried sleeping in the car driving up. That wasn't very good while I was driving. But that's another story. Anyway, she was there in front of me, and I said to her, how are you doing? And she said, not very well. I said, what is it? And she said, I have a frozen shoulder. And she said, I can't raise my arm. And it's been like that for years and years. I said, okay, well, let's get that fixed. And so we laid hands on her. And she had immediate movement, far more than she ever had. And I said, besides getting your shoulder healed, you're going to sleep really well tonight. I didn't know that she hadn't been sleeping. Anyway, the next day she came, and she was absolutely overjoyed that she had full range of motion for both hands. And she said, something I have wanted for years is to be able to clap in worship. And today she said, I can clap in worship. I can clap in worship. And I just say, you know, that's just so lovely how God restored something that was tied to a desire of her heart to magnify Him. And, you know, some people who have two good hands wouldn't necessarily clap or really connect in worship. But God healed her, and on that day also her husband, who had suffered terribly from arthritis, was totally healed. God is always reminding us that He's ready to do what we may think isn't going to happen. And so we're going to give Him an opportunity in this meeting today to do something that you've been kind of waiting for. Is that okay? All right. All right, let's look at this subject, your worship life. In 2 Kings 17, there's kind of a negative part of Israel's history. And they had worshipped the Lord and conquered the land, and amazing things had been done in their behalf, enjoyed the favor of God. But then they drifted away. Everybody say drifted. And that's one of the greatest dangers that we face as believers, is that we can be focused on God, love God, experience God, enjoy God, but if we're not careful, we can drift away. And so the Bible is full of this theme over and over and over and over again. God's people doing well, pressing the metal, awesome, great, wonderful, drifting, and then ending up in a position that they never, ever, ever thought they would be in. And that's what happened. That's the scenario here in 2 Kings 17, is that they had drifted away and they had worshipped other gods and practices of the nations around them. They'd been influenced, in modern terms, by the world. The world had kind of come into the community of God's people and affected and infected them so much that they were so far away from God. God said, I gotta slap you awake. But the interesting thing about it is that in 2 Kings 17 and verse 18, let's take verse 16. They forsook all the commands of the Lord their God and made for themselves two idols, images, cast in the shape of calves and an Asherah pole. They bowed down to all the starry hosts, and they worshipped Baal. They sacrificed their sons and daughters in the fire. They practiced divination and sorcery and sold themselves to do evil in the eyes of the Lord, provoking Him to anger. So, what is this about? It's about worship. Their worship had gone so far, they were doing stuff that is just unthinkable. Unthinkable. And I want you to notice what the next sentence says in verse 18. So the Lord was very angry with Israel and removed them from His presence. He removed them from His presence. Wherever He was, they were not. Wherever they were, He was not. And verse 22. Well, let's go to finish verse 18. So the Lord was very angry with Israel and removed them from His presence. Only the tribe of Judah was left. Everybody say Judah. Judah. What does Judah mean?
Praise.
Only the tribe of praise was left. And then it says even Judah didn't keep the commands. And they followed the practices that Israel had introduced. So on and so forth. Until the latter part of verse 20, it says, until he thrust them from his presence. So Israel and Judah now are out of the presence of God. Verse 22 says, the Israelites persisted in all the sins of Jeroboam and did not turn away from them until the Lord removed them from his presence, as he had warned them through all his servants, the prophets. Well, what was the fundamental issue is that worship is designed to connect you with the presence of God. The most important value that Israel had was connecting with the presence of God. They had the ark of God's presence. It was the constant reminder that Jehovah God was in their midst. But they had drifted so far away, God says, I'm not anything to do with you at this point. Nothing to do with you. You're going the opposite direction. You don't really want a relationship with me. And so they were out of his presence. You know, that's what hell is. That's what hell is. Hell is the only place where there is no presence of God. And it's kind of a stark thing. And so God, in his love and his mercy, the Bible says he thrust them from his presence. They were removed from his presence. But he calls and beckons them back. You know, and that's what's so wonderful about God. He loves us so much, even when we're doing stupid. We're doing rebellious. We're doing crazy. He still beckons to us. Still beckons to us. He still loves us. And what happened, of course, he does what Hebrews 12 says in the New Testament. He disciplines his kids. And so he had other nations came and they smacked them around and displaced them, moved them to other countries and separated them. So they would come to their spiritual senses and say, you know, we lost the thing that is so important to us. And I want you to capture this point today. What is the most important thing in your life? It isn't anything you own. It isn't any person that you know. Those things only have significance and value if the one thing is truly the one thing. And that's God himself. It's God himself. And our modern lives today, we can easily be massaged into focusing on other things, championing and giving undeserved attention to, because that's what false worship is. It's giving undeserved attention and value to something or someone. The most important thing that happens in this building isn't my preaching, isn't our singing, is that it is the presence of God. It is the presence of God. And it's vital to recognize that God gave us all the ability to sense his presence. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Have you ever sensed God's presence? You have this spiritual faculty that's part of the spirit makeup and component of yourself as a believer, in which you can discern that the invisible Almighty God is close or nearby. And we understand this in a natural sense. If you've ever been in a queue and you're facing maybe the teller at a bank or something, and you're in a queue and you sense someone is behind you. You can't see them yet. You haven't turned around, but you just sense someone has come behind you. You just have this ability to discern that there's another body nearby. And so you kind of turned around to see, is there what you thought? And yeah, sure enough, there is there. They're there. And it's perhaps happened to you in your home. Is it you've been in a house somewhere and in a room, and you're focused on a particular thing in the room, and somebody comes in the room, you haven't seen or heard them, but you kind of sense that somebody else here. Now, where am I going with this? To sense God's presence is to sense God Himself.
Yes.
One of the great dangers that Pentecostals and Charismatics have is that we're very sensory. And nothing wrong with it. God made us to be so, to have the ability of senses. And we love the senses that we have that enable us to enjoy things. Sometimes we may not fully grasp, and I know that would be true of myself, that my ability to discern the presence of God is given me so I could be reminded by that facility that it's God Himself who's there. God Himself. It's not just a sensation I have, not just a feeling I have, not just a perception. It is God Himself. The Bible says God is Spirit.
Yes.
And from God's point of view, Spirit is just as real as this pulpit. So God's here. That's why I have often said to you, God's presence cannot come without His power. Because it's God Himself. We're in a service. Our eyes are closed. We're worshiping the Lord. We sense, perhaps, hopefully in an increasing measure, God's presence. What was gone from Israel because they drifted away from Him, we have access to in a most dynamic and powerful way. And sometimes it's easy to kind of go through the motions and think, yeah, I went to the service and we had a great worship time and I sensed God's presence and the pastor spoke too long and whatever. We sense God's presence. What was that? You didn't just discern that the Spirit was near you. You should be knowledgeable and conscious of the truth that it was God Almighty.
Yes, yes, amen.
If it is God Almighty, let me put it this way. If Jesus decided to make an early return to your house, instead of waiting for the second coming, and He knocked on the door of your house, Pastor, and you went and opened the door, and there was Jesus in the flesh standing at your front door, what would you do? You say, well, I got an opportunity here. I've never had one like this. I got Jesus to myself. Come on in. We're going to make Him a cup. And you would take advantage of that. At least I would. I think so. You take advantage of that. God wants to so change us so that whenever we sense His presence, it's just like having Him at the front door.
Yes.
Yes. In other words, what's the point of having Jesus your Savior if He's not allowed to be Jesus? Hello.
Yes.
Is it? Are you interested? Well, it begins with how you approach Him. God said, you leave My presence by what you do. You come into My presence by what you do. There's a certain kind of approach that will bring you into the dynamic of My presence. All we know theologically that Christ is in me and I am in Christ, and he that joined to the Lord is one Spirit. We understand that. But a lot of times we don't access the power of what we know. Not something dynamically in operation in our lives. God says, I want to teach you how to connect with me by being a worshiping person. And so we're gonna have a little practice today. Because there's no point in my talking about worship if we don't understand what it's all about, where it's going, and how to connect with God. Because worship is connecting with God. That's why Hebrews 11 verse 6 says, "He that comes to God." He that comes to God. But Pastor, I did that June 6, 1963. I gave my life to Christ. I came to God. So is that the first and the last time you ever come to God? I hope not. When you are in trouble, what do? You go to God, don't you? If you're a wise person, if you're a dummy, tell your neighbor he's not talking about you. Tell your neighbor he's not talking about you. If you get in trouble, the Bible says if you get in trouble, pray, talk to God. Talk to Him. Talk to Him as though it would make a difference. Talk to Him as though He is God. Talk to Him as though He is Almighty. Talk to Him as though He can do anything. Talk to Him as though He's ready to help you, to change you, to fix anything that needs to be. Talk to Him. Talk to Him. Connect with Him. Connect with Him. God says, I want you to have a relationship with me in worship so that it's just like turning up at the front door. It's you and me. It's you and me. Many years ago, I struggled in the prison of my own thoughts. I read the Bible. I listened to hours and hours of Bible teaching. But I could not seem to make any difference to the torment I felt in my own mind. I didn't know how to access God. I was born again. I had received Jesus by faith. I had been baptized in water. I had been filled with the Holy Spirit. I was speaking in tongues. But I was still in my mind in a terrible place. I couldn't fix as much as I wanted to, as much as I gritted my teeth and tried every way I knew how to try to fix something in here. Have you ever been in that position? Yeah. Have you ever been in the position where you said, you know, there's just something about me that needs a supernatural touch? I'd like to tell you, you're not going to be successful fixing yourself. Hello. If you were, you'd be God. Lots of people in this world trying to fix themselves. You can spend a lot of money trying to get help to fix yourself. And God gave me one key. I was desperate. Just give me a key. God, let me know if there's something I'm supposed to do. Tell me. Don't leave me like this. And I believe that's in the heart of every believer. There is some depth in God you haven't yet partaken of. Yeah. And it's there for you. It's there for you. It's there for you. It's got your name on it. And he says, you know what it really is? It's just about getting close to me. Getting close to me. Just an Old Testament example of this in its simplest form. Moses was called to go up on the mountain. He went up on the mountain and he got, as you know, the Ten Commandments. How many of you love the Ten Commandments? Well, Pastor, I don't do too well obeying them, but I do love them. I mean, the world is not happy with the Ten Commandments. I mean, he goes up there and he gets, some stone tablets, and I don't know how heavy they were, but anyway, he gets them and he's got to carry them down. He's got to take down the law. How many love grace more than law? Hello. You understand grace, you love grace more than law. So he goes down with the law. But you know what he went down with? He went down with some kind of shining on his face. It's called the glory of God. The Moses that went up the mountain, when he left, they saw him one way. When he came down the mountain, they saw him a different way. He had the glory on him. All because he got close to God. So let's just take that to the next level, since that's Old Testament. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says this. It says, as you behold him, you are transformed into his likeness. You're transformed. It doesn't say as you attend church service, as you pay tithes, No. It says as you behold him. All those things are important. They're a part of obeying God's word. But the transformation, everybody say transformation.
Transformation.
The impartation. Say impartation. The transfer. Say transfer. All of us like the thought of somebody transferring into our account several million pounds. You wake up and you take out your bank statement and it says you now have 33 million pounds to spend. You'd say, well, that is definitely from God. That was not overtime. We love the idea of a transfer that came to us miraculously, supernatural. God says, that's what I want to do. I want there to be a transfer. A transfer. Transfer. A moving across. So here's what it says in the last part of 2 Kings 17 and verse 39. God calls them back and he reminds them who he is and how he brought them out of Egypt with the power and outstretched arm. He's the one you must worship, verse 36, so on. Don't worship the other gods. Verse 39, he says, rather worship the Lord your God. It is he who will deliver you from the hand of all your enemies. God is a delivering God. And so what we're going to do today is I want you to stand to your feet right now. And you have a little piece of paper inserted into your notes there. It's at the top of it, it says Song of Deliverance. It kind of looks like this. In your notes there, a single sheet. He says, worship the Lord, for it is he who will deliver you from the hand of all your enemies. I like to have us all pray a little prayer right now of deliverance. And then we're just going to worship. Because that's what we've been learning to do, is we've been learning to enlarge our praise and our worship vocabulary. If you haven't been here, you wouldn't know that's what we've been doing. We've been enlarging our praise and worship vocabulary. The New Testament says, sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Psalm 47 and verse 7 says, sing a psalm to the Lord. So I got one here for you. This is a deliverance psalm. So we're going to pray a prayer, and then we're going to worship the Lord, and this is the substance of your song. Hello, are you with me?
Yes.
So Marilee's going to come to the piano, and we're going to sing in a moment, and you're just going to make your own tune, but sing these words. And as you sing these words and worship him, because you're singing to him, remember, you're singing to him. You're not singing to me. You're not just singing. You're singing to the Lord. This is your statement to and about him. And as you're singing this, let your heart come out of your song. Think about all those times that God has delivered you. He delivered you from addictions. He delivered you from all kinds of things. I believe as we worship Him today, the great deliverer comes in this building today to deliver us. Say, Pastor, I don't need any deliverance. Well, God bless you. He's worthy of your worship anyway. There is somebody who knows you more than you know yourself. And He can lift things off you in a moment. As I told you, God said to me, Rick, if you want deliverance, you want deliverance from something that is impossible for you to change, just worship Me. That's the solution. That's the solution. That's the solution. I'm reminded of it constantly. Worshiping Jesus. You know, when you worship Jesus, you stop trying to do it yourself. So let's bow our hearts in prayer right now. Let's everyone pray with me. Father, I come to You. In Jesus' name. I say today, You're my deliverer. You're my deliverance. Deliver me, Lord, from everything that restricts my life in You. Deliver me, Lord, from all oppression, from all addiction, from all bad habits. Deliver me from all my fears. Deliver me, Lord, from anything that displeases You. Set me free, Lord. My eyes are upon You. You're my deliverer. I worship You today as my deliverer. I've given up trying to deliver myself. But I know You, Lord. I know You love me. I know You're my deliverer. As I worship You today, I worship You as my deliverer. Thank You, Lord. I come to You now with my song of deliverance. In Jesus' name. Now I want you to just take these words and you can just start off, everybody singing together, and you make up your own tune and use these great psalm deliverance words to sing to Him who is your deliverer. Lord, You are my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. You will always be my deliverer. Though the chains come around me, I will say, You are my deliverer. You're the one in whom I take my refuge, my shield, the horn of my salvation. You surround me with sorrow. Lord, You set me free, make me new, lift me out. So many times, so many places, freedom song. are pushed back. You're my voice. My cry came before you. You reached down from on high and lifted me up. Oh, so man, anytime you drew me out of deep water, I was drowning. I was drowning, I was drowning, but you rescued me from my enemies, my foe. You have always been my support. You brought me out into a special place. You are the deliverer, oh God. My song of praise rises. Delighted in me, you delighted in me, I delight in you, I worship you today, I deliver. Will e'er see the goodness of my King, rescuing me from my enemy, making me new, from the snares of death and the cords of the grave, you snatched me out. You snatched me out. Oh, I will worship you. I will worship you. Hold out your hands to Him right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We know you are here. We know you are here right now. Thank you. You stepped into this room as our deliverer today. We're receiving right now the heavenly transfer of deliverance into our lives, into our bodies, into our account. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, for delivering me. Thank you for another transfer from you to me, from you to to each one of us. Some of you can feel right now in your physical body. In your physical body right now, the delivering work of the Holy Spirit is taking place in your body right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Don't step out of His presence. Stay with Him right now. The invisible work of the Holy Spirit is real and powerful, lasting, amazing, substantial. Real. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh. While your eyes are closed, let us sing, I'm no longer a slave. Lead us merrily. Go ahead, sing it.
I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. Child of God.
Let's raise it up.
I'm no longer a slave to fear.
Yes.
Child of God.
Thank you, Lord.
No longer slave to fear. Yes, child of God. Hunger slave to fear.
Do the first verse.
Yes, child.
I'm no longer
the slave to fear. I have a child of God.
First verse.
Me with a melody,
yes,
surround me with a song, a reverence from my enemies, till all my fears are gone.
I'm no longer.
I'm no longer a slave to fear.
Yes.
I'm a child of God.
I'm no longer.
I'm no longer a slave to fear. I'm a child of God.
Just hold a second right there. I want you to sing this song to those things that you've been fearful of. Maybe it's getting older. Maybe it's something financial or relational or whatever it is. I want you to sing to it. And when you sing to it, you're saying, the deliverer has met me today. This is my song of deliverance. I'm not slave to you any longer. I'm no longer afraid of you, because God has made me his child.
I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am
Verse 2.
My mother's womb, you have chosen me. Love has called my name. I've been born again into your family. Your blood flows through my veins.
I'm no longer.
I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God.
First verse.
You unravel me with a melody. You surround me with a song of deliverance from my enemies till all my fears are gone. I'm no longer asleep.
No.
I am a child of God.
I'm no longer.
I'm no longer asleep to fear. I am a child of God.
Now I want you to get out of your seat, because the Bible teaches us that your confession is your inheritance. And one of the things it says in the New Testament is that we're to sing songs to each other. So I want you to sing to your sisters and your brothers, at least 10 of them.
I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child.
Come on, 10 now.
I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child.
Now change the pronoun, you are no longer.
You are no longer a slave to fear.
You're no longer.
You are a child.
You're no longer.
You're no longer a slave to fear.
We are.
We are the children of God.
Most High, hallelujah.
You're no longer a slave to fear. We are a child of God.
You're no longer.
You're no